Thank you for that beautiful anthem, Ray. And now as we transition into the hearing of God's word, I invite you all to join me in prayer. Gracious God, that beautiful song about Jesus' love has opened up our hearts to you this morning. And now we ask that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would help us to remain open to hear what you are saying to us through your scriptures this day. Lord, we only want to be closer and closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this fall we are having a sermon series about living our faith, and we are looking to Hebrews chapter 11 to guide us in that journey. We are looking week by week at the people who are listed there, the stalwarts of our faith who are in our Bibles. Some weeks you will find that you don't know the person that we're talking about in the sermon. I think that was probably the case last week with Pastor Derek, right? He preached on Enoch. And I would bet that not too many of you knew who Enoch was when you came through the doors of the church last week. This week, it's not that way. For today, we are talking about Noah, okay? Now, I guarantee you that each person in this room has heard of Noah before, right? We all know his story, how he built the ark and the animals went on two by two. Even the little children among us know the story of Noah. And so I had a little bit of a challenge this week as to how to present Noah in a slightly different light for us, so that we don't think about him as a character from a nursery rhyme, but that we think about him as a man of faith from whom we can learn. And so let's begin to do that now as we hear two passages of scripture. One, again, from Hebrews 11, because that's what we're in all fall. And then from Genesis chapter 6. So I will begin Hebrews 11. I'll be reading verses 1 through 3, and then I will skip down to the part on Noah in verse 7. So let's listen now for the word of the Lord. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Now down to verse 7. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. And by this, he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. Now we move on to our second reading from Genesis chapter 6. The whole story of Noah takes up quite a few chapters in Genesis, and of course I'm not going to read all of that for you this morning, but I'm going to read from chapter 6, I'm going to read a snippet of 5 through 8, and then I'm going to go down and read from chapter 6, verses 13 through 22. So let's once again listen now for the word of the Lord. The Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out from the earth the human beings I have created, people, together with animals and creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. And down in verse 13, and God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I'm going to destroy them along with the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its width, 50 cubits, its height 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above. And put the door of the ark on its side. Make it lower, second, and third decks. For my part, I'm going to bring a flood of water on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, which is in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing on the ground according to its kind, two of every kind shall come in with you to keep them alive. Also take with you every kind of food that is eaten and store it up, and it shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. It's the word of the Lord. Won't you pray with me one more time? Gracious God, we hear this stunning story of Noah from so long ago. And we ask now that you would help us to look with fresh eyes at this story, to see what it says to us today for our lives of faith. For we love you and we wish to follow you fully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on the street where I grew up, just about 7 miles south of Pittsburgh, there was a house at the end of my block that was always a little bit strange. In it lived an elderly man. He was a widower, but he was also very secretive and reclusive. And he had built a really high fence around his backyard so that nobody could see what he was doing there. And at all hours of the day and night, we neighbors could hear banging and sawing and hammering and that, you know, kind of sound that electric tools make. And if you would look at his house, at his backyard, at just the right time, in just the right light, sometimes you would see a poof of smoke that would come up. Just one, right? Just a poof up into the air. Now, of course, my brother and I and all the other kids in the neighborhood, we were fascinated by this guy, right? We wanted to know what was going on behind that fence. We used to imagine, we used to talk about it. What is he doing back there? Was he digging a tunnel to China? Was he building a spaceship to Mars? We just had to know what was going on back there. And so it was in the midst of this neighborhood intrigue, I'll call it, in the summer of 1985, when one of the top grossing movies of all time came out. I'm talking about the movie Back to the Future, okay? A classic. I'm sure everybody here has seen it probably several times. I know I have. Of course, this movie made a star out of Michael J. Fox, who played the teenage Marty McFly. But my favorite character in the movie was Doc Brown, played by the crazy, wacky Christopher Lloyd. Doc Brown was that weird guy down the street who worked on a DeLorean in his garage and turned it into a time machine. And of course, after seeing Back to the Future that summer, well, my brother and I, from thenceforth onward, referred to the man down the street as Doc Brown, right? We wondered, you know, was he building a DeLorean too behind his fence? Maybe he was. We didn't know. You see, Doc Brown and the guy down the street were these people, these amazingly creative people who were able to listen to the voice inside their head and build these amazing things. Doc Brown represents that kind of person who can step out and who can not just build something ordinary, but build something extraordinary, build something that nobody has ever seen before, despite any negative reactions from nosy neighbors like myself. Now, you may know someone. You may know someone who fits into this mold. Maybe somebody on your street as well. Or maybe it's, your crazy Uncle Stanley who shows up at the Thanksgiving table every November, and you never know what he's going to say, and you never know what he's going to do, right? And so I invite you now to think about that guy, or maybe even it's a girl to you. Think about that guy as we transition into our Old Testament passage about Noah. For to me, Noah fits precisely into that mold. The scene begins in Genesis 6 with a world that has been corrupted by human beings. Corrupted so much to the point where God is upset over the amount of sin on the earth. Verse 6 tells us, quote, "And the Lord was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. And so he decided to get rid of everyone. But in his mercy, God decided to save Noah and Noah's family." Verse 14 says that God directed, "Make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch." And then God told Noah to bring his family on board, and the famous part, right, all the animals came on two by two. This is what God directed Noah to do. And here's the thing. Noah did it. He did it. And this is where Doc Brown comes into the situation. Now let's just picture, just for a moment this morning, what Noah's neighbors thought when he was building this boat, right? What did they think? I mean, Noah, he wasn't building a little canoe. He wasn't building a kayak. He wasn't building a rowboat. He wasn't even building a medium-sized sailboat. No, he was building a huge boat. Scripture says the length of the ark is 300 cubits. Its width is 50 cubits. Its height is 30 cubits. That means this ark is about 510 feet long. I know we'll be watching the Steeler game this afternoon, so you can picture to yourself that that ark was the length of 1.5 football fields. Okay? It's big. And the roof of the ark was so big that you could lay 3 of NASA's space shuttles side by side by side on the roof. Okay? Big. This thing was big. And I highly doubt that he had a fence around his yard tall enough to cover this, like my neighbor did, right? Everybody saw what he was doing. It was plain as day. And please keep in mind that Noah did not live on the beach. He did not live in a seaside community, yet he was building a giant boat. So if you saw your neighbor on your street building something like this, what would you do? Now, I have the mic, so I can tell you what I would do. To be honest with you, I would call up the local zoning authorities, right? I mean, wouldn't we? We'd see this guy down the street is building a large commercial vehicle in his yard. We can't have this. We can't have this in our block. This is going to kill our property values, right? But Noah, he didn't care about how it looked or about offending his nosy neighbors or about the zoning authorities or anybody else. Noah only cared about God. And God told Noah to build the boat. And so Noah was going to build the boat, come hell or high water, pun intended. Call him a mad scientist. Call him Doc Brown, call him eccentric, call him your crazy Uncle Stanley, whatever you want to call him. But Noah was a man who followed God, period. Period. Now, there are people in modern times who do this as well, the Doc Browns of the modern world. Many of them are out there, and they're building spaceships, they're creating and perfecting the electric car. They're building robots that do all sorts of things for human beings. But sometimes, some of these amazingly creative folks build churches. They build churches. I think of the modern day folk, like Rick Warren and his wife Kay, who in 1980 heard God calling them to build a church in Orange County, California. They had no money, no land, no building, and no members. But they had a directive from God to build it, and they built it. Today, this church, I'm sure you've heard of it, it's called Saddleback Church. Some of you maybe even have been there. It worships 25,000 people on a Sunday. And it has little satellite churches, 16 of them all over the place, and four of them in foreign countries. That's no canoe that Rick Warren was building, right? That's an ark. Or I know some of you here really like and respect Tim Keller, Reverend Tim Keller, who in 1989 began with 15 people praying in an apartment in New York City about starting a church there. This small prayer group developed this church into a multi-site model, not with the big church and little satellites, but with substantial churches. There are five of them now all over New York City. Again, worships thousands of people. Thousands of people come to Bible study there. That's no canoe that Tim Keller built. It's an ark. Or how about that small group of 20 souls who in February of 1838 set out to build this church, Swickley Presbyterian Church? Our historical record says this. It says, these were men and women who, in spite of all obstacles, were determined to provide for the spiritual needs of their tiny community and, wonderfully enough, for the spiritual needs of the wider world beyond their valley home. End quote. That's from our historical records. These were folks who heard God's call to create a new church in Swickley and who built the church that you're sitting in right now, right? Last to this day. But of course, despite their determination and goodwill to build a church, they could never have anticipated all of the troubles that came in the years afterwards. They could not anticipate this, what folks called time of disruption that we're in today. Pandemic, right? Coming out of a pandemic, divisiveness in our society. And something they surely did not deal with was this general societal turn away from the church that we're experiencing, right? We're no longer the center of society anymore. These modern day pressures, boy, they can make us want to crawl behind our proverbial fences, right? Hide ourselves behind there. But the example of Noah remains, friends, and it calls to us from across the centuries. When people of faith hear God's call to build an ark, what do? We build an ark, right? We build an ark. And our ark will be different than the arks that other people have built over time. Now it will be tailored for the time and location that we're in. In our case, the call to build, certainly that I hear as a pastor here, is a call to build up our Christian education program that has been hurt, really, by the pandemic. I mean, just a few months ago, we were standing around going, where are the kids, right? Where did they go to? But they're here, right? They're back, praise be to God. We need to build this up again with the help of Mike and Hannah and our discipleship team and all of the wonderful parents who volunteer and who care about our children and youth. Or the call to build is to build up our congregational care program, so needed in this time of physical and mental health crises among our members. We need to build this up again with the help of Elizabeth Zuba and her CCM team and the pastors and all those who care about folks in need. or the call to build is a call to build back up our wonderful music program, right? After the retirement of Craig Dobbins, to build it in something new so that we continue to provide this beautiful music that helps people experience God. We do this with the help of Robert and Ray and our choir and all the wonderful musical people we have, as well as whoever this musical genius is, right, that we're going to hire after the first of the year. Friends, the call to Noah to build up, to build anew still calls to us today. And never forget that the end of Noah's story is just as important as the beginning. Scripture tells us that in the end, God made a promise to Noah. God said, I will establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. So Noah's story shows us that a faithful response by us to God's call results in God's promise to be faithful to us in return. Friends, sometimes there will be folks who are not part of the church, who walk by on Beaver Street or drive by on Beaver Street and want to know what we're doing behind these walls. You know, what are those sounds coming from that church over there? Why on earth do they have white tents all over their lawn? You know, what are they doing? They may regard us with an odd sense of curiosity as we say, yeah, we're sharing God's love. But even if they refer to us as crazy old Doc Brown or that eccentric group of folks down the street, we need to wear that badge with pride and continue on our quest to be faithful to God's call to build that ark. Praise be to God. Amen.